Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, it's Dr. Dave here, the vegan, and welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. It's the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. A lot more. A heck of a lot more. If you're with me, you know that. You know I over-deliver, under-promise and over-deliver. That's kind of the motto of my life. It's always good to under-promise, but over-deliver. And right now, you hear some noise behind me because I happen to be in Union Square, Manhattan. It's a very popular area. A lot of people around me. I'm at Broadway and 14th, just kind of catching the vibe, hanging out and broadcasting to you. And I love what I do. I love inspiring. I love helping. I love teaching. I love motivating. I love you. And you can tell I'm pumped up. And the reason I am is because when I come to New York, well, let me explain why I'm here. I'll back up for 1 second. When I come to New York, I do a lot of walking and a lot of thinking. And Yoko happens to be, if those of you that are new to the podcast, the David Matto Lifestyle Show, Yoko is my wonderful wife. She is from Japan. And right now, she, as I'm speaking, she is back in Japan visiting with her parents. Her dad underwent some knee surgery, so she's back there helping out her family. And I am speaking in a couple days in New Jersey. And I said to myself, hey, self, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a couple extra days. And I'm going to hit up Manhattan. I'm going to hit up Brooklyn and Manhattan and spend some Dave time here and then go right to my speaking gig from here. And that's what I'm doing here now. And when I say Dave time, here's what I do. I come to New York. I walk a lot. I look around. I think. I plan. I strategize. I mastermind. Well, with myself, but I'm still called masterminding. I think if you mastermind with yourself, it's still called masterminding, right? I mean, I don't know if the correct terminology would be mastermind baiting, because it's by myself. But I'm trying to always improve my life. And when you get to the point where you think your life needs no improvement and there's nowhere to go, you stagnate. And as much fun as I'm having in this lifetime, I'm doing things that I love to do. I'm only 61 years young, and I think I've got a lot more time on this planet. You know, you never know because life is very, very fragile. And we never know for sure. But you have to live like you have a lot of time left. Because if you don't do that and then you end up having a lot of time left, you're just going to kind of screw up 30 or 40 years. So don't get old before your time. That's tip number one, and I don't have this scripted or outlined or anything. I don't have like 10 tips for you that I just kind of came up with that. A lot of times we think, well, I'm old now, I really can't do much. Well, no matter how old you are chronologically, I've seen people that are 80, 90 years old that still are learning new things, that get motivated and start businesses and start exercising. I mean, it's never too late. I don't care what age you are. I've seen people that are in their early 80s go back to school. Isn't that incredible? It's never too late. And again, I'm not sure how much my microphone is picking up the noise behind me, but we're talking about a lot of people, a lot of taxi cabs, a lot of traffic, a lot of hustle and bustle, because it's New York City in Union Square. For God's sakes, it's noisy, it's crowded, but I love it. I really love it. And so that's what I'm doing here. I brought my, even when I'm walking around, like right now, in my backpack, in my Camelback, I've got my MacBook, I've got my my notebook, I've got things that can, if I sit down at a restaurant, thing I can help, I can plan, I can write, I can do, I can work, I can do anything. I really, really love it. So. Yeah, I'm pumped up. Yeah, totally, totally. Now, a short time ago, somebody sent I think it was a Facebook message. Somebody sent a Facebook message to me and asked me a very good question, which I promised to answer here on my podcast. And the question went something like, now I don't have it right in front of me, but the question was basically something like, Dave, hey, you've got a great life, but you've talked a lot about some struggles that you've had in the past and how you've overcome them. And I was curious to know what your greatest struggle ever was. Signed, I won't give her name. It's okay. I'm not going to give her name. But I did promise her that I was going to answer the question. And I also promised my, I think I came on Facebook and actually told you or told a lot of people, hopefully you're following me on Facebook too, that I was going to answer that question. And I'm going to answer it in a way, but I've got to be very careful because there's one period of my life that totally stands out as the toughest, the biggest struggle by far, the most difficult. And I'm going to share that with you right now. And it might not be what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, he was an alcoholic. He was probably into drugs. Maybe he was addicted to something else like porn or gambling. Well, you know, it was nothing like that. No, thank God I've never been addicted to anything except for a healthy lifestyle. I am addicted to a healthy lifestyle, and I'm addicted to healthy food. Yes, I am. I'm addicted to running. But I think my addictions are good, and they're not really addiction. Well, I could stop running anytime I wanted to, but I love it. And I guess I would say I could stop eating anytime I want, but I guess I am addicted to food because I kind of have to live. I kind of have to nourish my body, but I do it with extremely healthy, plant-based whole foods. So, no, it wasn't any of that. But I will share with you the toughest part of my life, and it was approximately 10 years. Very, very roughly, from about 1990 or 91 or so, something like that, till the very end of the year 2000. And the reason I remember that so vividly is because those were about 10 years that I had a very, very bad relationship with two people in my family that are very important to me. But I had a very, very dark 10 years with these two people that I really love, and I always love them. And they're my parents, my mom and dad. And you might be thinking, well, that's crazy. Why, if they're good people and you love them, why would you ever have a bad relationship with them? Well, it's really, really complex. It's really complex. And there's only so much explaining I'm going to be able to do here on the show. But the reason it came about is because it's not just like I'm in a vacuum with my parents and there's nobody else in my life. So, I, of course, was married, two wonderful kids. I had like a life going. And unfortunately, now I'm going to try really hard as I can, not to throw anybody under the bus, not to call anybody by name or not to. I'm going to try my hardest because I have no hard feelings. I really don't. I have no hard feelings towards anybody. It wouldn't do me any good. It wouldn't do other people any good. There's no reason to have any hard feelings. But let's just say somebody I was extremely close with, and you can read between the lines if you like. It's okay. Somebody I was extremely close with had different thoughts for us. This person, she, for some reason, learned to have hatred towards my parents. For good reasons? No, I don't think so, because as crazy as my parents might be, and we're all crazy in a one way or another, but my parents are basically really, really good, hardworking people. Really good people. I've known them for my whole life. And do they have their idiosyncrasies? Of course they do, like all of us do. But they would never do anything to anybody that would warrant hatred or a son and daughter-in-law being on bad terms with them. They would. That's like the last thing they would ever want in their lives. But for some reason, and I won't even try to go into it or go back to that time because it's very, very difficult for me, but for some reason, somebody had other plans for me, and she pretty much said, hey, your parents are bad. We're not going to have a relationship with them. When it comes time for holidays, we're going to go other places. We're going to see them as little as possible. And when we see them, we're going to be not very nice, abrupt. And like an idiot, like a total idiot, I went along with the program. Again, it's very, very complex. And there's no way I could ever give it the Give it the something that it deserves. You fill in the blank. There's no way that I could give it the blank that it deserves. Because it's very complex. Because, see, when you have kids, when you have a wife who's asking you to please do something one way, and if you don't, pretty much, you know, you're going to be in big trouble. It's not quite that easy. It's not just quite... Looking back, yeah, I would do things totally different. But you know something? That was a learning part of my life. I learned a lot. And once I split up with my ex-wife, started a brand new life, I'm happy to say that my relationship with my parents is just incredible. I mean, it's been incredible for the past 16 years. And there's no turning back. You can never get the years back that you lost. It's just obviously impossible. But I don't really think about those years too much. And I don't hold any hatred or bad feelings towards anybody that kind of got me there. But I'm just happy to have the years that I have with them now. And my dad is, by the time you hear this, he will have celebrated his 87th birthday. Gotta love him. You got to love him. As crazy as he is, you got to love him. And my mom, 81 or just about 82. And things are really good. I will miss them when they're gone for sure. And I will always be sorry about those 10 years I lost with them. Always be sorry. How about you? Is there anybody in that category that you, for some reason, have a bad relationship with, but you don't think you should be having a bad relationship with them? In other words, you know in your heart that things should be better with this person or these people. Is there anybody like that? Why don't you think about making it better then? Why don't you think about giving them a call or sending them an email and getting together with them and maybe telling them that you love them and life's too short to go through crazy things? Life's way too short. Try that. If there is anybody, get in touch with them. Rekindle an old relationship that for some reason just went bad for some reason, but you don't even know why. Could be a really cool thing to do. I was going to say one of the most powerful things. Well, maybe it could be. In my case, it was, because it was with my parents. It was the best thing I've ever done in my life. Well, there are a lot of good things I've done in my life. Having my kids, meeting Yoko. I mean, God, a lot of good things are going on in my life. Absolutely. But something else I shared with you a couple of months ago that I want to reshare, if that's possible, is, again, one of the most powerful things I've ever learned. And I learned this on a hippie road trip. On my first hippie road trip, I learned this. And I wanted to run this by you again, because on my first hippie road trip, when I was driving from Phoenix to Memphis, Phoenix, Arizona to Memphis, Tennessee, hippie road trip number one, I did a lot of thinking. And one of the things I started thinking and bringing into my life was, I had a term for it back then. I don't have to repeat it. Okay, I'll repeat it for you. But it sounds really crude and it's not a nice word. But what I learned was, and I wrote down in my book, was get rid of the motherfuckers. Get rid of the motherfuckers. And by motherfuckers, I don't really mean these people are bad people. I used the term just because I used that as people that were in my life that just kind of took up space and they did not give me positive energy back. So I was throwing positive energy, or at least trying to throw positive energy, towards certain people. No names needed at all. Just certain people that were in my life in one way or another. And I just wasn't feeling the positive energy coming back at me. So what I started doing is started just kind of drifting away from them. And no hatred whatsoever. No bad feelings. No dislike. Would never wish any harm on them. They just weren't really participating in the positive energy in my universe. So I just started, hey, look, I don't really even need to be hanging out or associated with this person or that person. They're not a bad person, but I'm just not really getting anything from the relationship. You know, life is really short, as I started this show with. It's very short. It goes by very quickly. Why would you ever want to spend time with people that you don't really, really enjoy being with? Why would you want to take your time, your precious time, and spend it with people that are not giving you energy back? Why would you do that? And I figured that out on my hippie road trip number one, which, by the way, I've got another hippie road trip coming up pretty soon. It's actually hippie road trip number three coming up. I'm going to be doing a lot of thinking. I love to think. But since I started getting I don't want to call them motherfuckers because they're really not. It's a bad word. But just the people that I'm not aligned with, the people that are not sending me positive energy when I try to maybe send them positive energy, the people that I'm just not really feeling it with. Once I started removing them one by one, man, this just sense of peace, sense of total peace just like enveloped me. And it's not going away. It's not going anywhere. It just, wherever I go, I feel this peaceful feeling. Think about it. Try the same thing. Get rid of them. Don't wish any harm. Don't wish anything bad. No hatred. No dislike. Just walk away. Move away from them. That's all you have to do. Oh, it's easy. It's easier than you would ever think. Trust me. I've got a lot to think about in my life. And so do you. I know that you have a lot to think about. I'm going to recommend something. Next time you're out for your walk, your Magic Four. You know, I've talked about the Magic Four a lot. If you're new to me and you don't know what a Magic Four is, it means going out and walking 4 miles. Best exercise you can possibly do. Walking 4 miles. It'll take you a little over an hour. And if you do it often, as in every day, as in every single day, if possible, if you do it all, let's just say often, it's going to change your life. I swear to you. Oh, you'll think a lot. And as you're out doing your Magic Four, just start thinking. Think a lot. Plan out your life. What do you want to be doing tomorrow? What do you want to be doing next year? Next month? 5 years from now? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be living? Do you want to be doing the same thing you're doing now? If you want to be, that's fine. It's a noisy bus going by. A really noisy bus. But guess what? I'm loving it. Because it's New York and there's supposed to be noisy buses here. If there were not noisy buses, I'd be worried. Wouldn't you? Just think. Plan your life. Because if you don't plan anything, another day will go by. Another month will go by. Years will go by. And you'll be doing the same thing you're doing now. Maybe that's okay with you. It's not with me. Always looking. Always looking to see what's on the horizon. Do that. Trust me. Just trust me. I'm Dr. Dave.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.